So we have the proposed regulations, and a lot of the effort in the proposed regulations is figuring out when used property will qualify, and then how to figure out how to apply these rules to used property in a lot of partnership situations, because partnerships raise a lot of exotic rules. Because if you're just buying an interest in a partnership, the asset's owner hasn't changed, so what counts? Are you new to the partnership and sort of new to the asset underneath, but nothing's happened in the partnership? So how do you think about that? So we got a lot of guidance on those kinds of issues in the proposed regulations. Issue of whether you've ever owned an interest in the property before, the proposed regulations say, well, if you've historically had a 20% interest in the property and now you increase your interest to 30%, you can claim bonus on that 10% increment on your incremental increased interest. But if 50 years ago you owned all the property and now you own 20 and now you buy another 30, your interest at one point was 100%, so you can never increase on that, and so you basically are never going to be able to claim bonus depreciation on that. So working with the if you've worked with the anti-churning rules under Section 197, which was designed to prevent monkey business in the years after 1993, when those rules were enacted to keep people from selling assets back and forth to be able to amortize the intangibles that would otherwise be non-amortizable. That made sense back then. It's kind of hard to make sense of now, and you really have to incur a lot of brain damage thinking way back now. The 90s were quite a while ago to figure that out. Well, now we've got a rule where we have to, in all contexts, go back to the beginning of time and figure out whether you ever had an interest in that property. And in a partnership context, you might be trying to figure out whether your partner ever had an interest in that property. And that can be a head scratcher. So the IRS is asked for your comments on whether there's situations in which that kind of look back should be limited. And the proposed regs include a concept that you'll be treated as a former owner of any property that you're members of your consolidated group or former owners of. As I said, the application of the rule to partnerships is not clear under the statute at all. It's not addressed at all. So the proposed regulations provide a lot of guidance on that. Some of it welcome, some of it people found unwelcome, and we're going to talk about some of the most common partnership situations now. So if you think about an existing partnership, you want to, say, go buy a 25% interest in that partnership, you'll get a stepped-up basis in your interest in the partnership. If that partnership has a Section 754 election in place, you'll be treated as if you purchased a slice of assets underlying that partnership interest and get step-up. As to the step-up slice, you'll get you can take a newly placed in service depreciation on that slice. So how do we think about bonus depreciation? Can I claim bonus depreciation on that? I mean, the asset is still in the same partnership. It still has the same nominal owner. Or can we think of me, the new partner, as a purchaser of a slice of that asset from whoever sold it to me? And the answer under the proposed regulations is the answer that you would hope for. You test to see, hey, am I related to the person from whom I acquired that partnership interest? And if not, you are eligible for bonus depreciation on your step up slice. Again, if the assets underlying your interest have a basis already of 50, and then you're buying your partnership interest at a price that implies a value of 100 for that underlying asset, then you have a step up of 50 in that asset. So your bonus would be limited to that slice of 50. So I'll talk about the bottom half of this slide first. The general bonus depreciation rule is, if you buy property and you're eligible for bonus, and then during the same year you contribute that property to a partnership, then the general rule is that you're going to prorate the bonus. If you like bonus, you're going to prorate the bonus based on the number of months during the year that you own the property, that the purchaser of the property versus the partnership owned the property. So if you buy the property on June 30th and then contribute it to the partnership on September 30th, you'd split the bonus about half and half, because each of you own the property during half the period it was placed in service during the year. So, but how do you apply that rule if one of the partners of the, if you purchase the property, you're eligible for bonus, you're contributing to a partnership, but the partnership has a partner who is not eligible for bonus depreciation? How are you going to deal with that? Because we don't want to give the bonus to someone who is a former owner. Let's say that partner years ago was an owner of that property. You don't want to give them that bonus. How do we deal with how do we deal with allocating the bonus? One common situation where that could come up is a Rev Rule 99-5 situation, where you've got an existing owner of the asset that's already in service. He's not eligible for bonus depreciation. The existing owner sells a 50% interest in that. It's got it in a disregarded LLC. He sells a 50% interest in that disregarded LLC to me, to call me B, the new purchaser. And so I'm treated as if I actually purchased 50% of the assets that were in the LLC, and then we both formed a new tax partnership by contributing our shares of the assets.